That's all I need to know about you.
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 Things drive you crazy, especially around the holidays. Now, what if you had a place that you could get it all off your chest? Good news. 1-800-330-9999. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Bobby, go ahead.
If you're having your Thanksgiving at 10 a.m., that's all I need to know about you. The party I got invited to, they said be there at 10 a.m. on Thanksgiving.
And they're serving bagels with that turkey?
I love it.
That's so early.
That sounds fantastic in some ways to me. Listen, eggs sounds like a great way because we could do the brunch like mimosa thing and then just seg into turkey. But I love the idea of the turkey actually being on the table before noon. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Now I can eat. Then I can dessert, then I can watch football and nap, and then wake up and still be ready to go for 8, 10, whenever the store is open for Black Friday.
I mean, the stores are not opening up on Thanksgiving, you know that.
Somebody's going to do it, I don't care. Even though if they haven't told anybody, somebody's doing it. I might have to go to the convenience store.
It's so weird when you hear when people start their Thanksgivings, because like for all my family parties, it doesn't matter if it's Thanksgiving, Christmas, birthday parties, whatever, 2 o'clock. 2:30 is our time for everything to start.
It is ours too, right? And now you're later than lunch and you're early for dinner. It's weird.
It is weird because I'm always starving by the time that I get there.
Yes.
Yeah. But I do find that, to me, it's stranger the people that have Thanksgiving at 5 o'clock at night. You had to wait all day for that? You could have been just eating all day long and like, and now it's the second time that you eat. Doesn't that seem late?
So what's your perfect time? Noon?
No, I think we got it down, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I would be okay with 1, because then you could have like a big breakfast, and then you're just hungry enough at 1 o'clock for Thanksgiving.
Oh, no, I'd lobby for 11:30. I love it. Mm. I love the sound of this.
Victoria, that's all I need to know about you.
So if you bring your own gluten-free Thanksgiving meal to somebody else's house, that's all I need to know about you.
This is like when my grandparents-in-law show up with their own burgers to our barbecues. Like, I appreciate you want to eat something else. You need to eat protein or whatever it is. But I seen you have bacon that week. I've seen you do something else. So why are you bringing your turkey burger here to the house? Why are you doing that? Acting like this is the way you eat every day. You're not. Yeah, this is not how you eat.
What if somebody's actually gluten-free? I have a cousin that's gluten-free. She does that. Doesn't bother me. Yeah, if that's what you need for your dietary restrictions, I don't care. I'm still going to eat what I need as long as you're cool.
Nothing here. There's absolutely nothing in the house that they can eat.
Well, I mean, you don't want them to be uncomfortable. They're guessing your house. I'm sorry, Victoria. I disagree with you.
Carla, that's all I need to know about you. What do you got?
If you bring a cooler with alcohol to my house for Thanksgiving, that's all I need to know about you.
My dad used to travel with one of them, like, little igloo coolers everywhere he went. So I don't really say much when I see it, but...
But wait a minute. But do they bring enough for everybody, or they just bring enough for themselves?
Oh, they bring it just for themselves, not for everyone else.
That is obnoxious.
I had an uncle bring a sixer over the other day. He only drank one. Then he left it at my house.
Well, that was for you guys to share. But if you're having a party with 40 people or 30 people and you bring a sixer, that's a problem,
now
right?
I feel bad, right? Because he asked me, he's like, you want a beer? And I was like, no, I'm good.
Well, okay. If he shows up to your house, yeah, I don't know.
Am I obligated to have a beer because he shows up with beer at my house?
No. If you're not in the mood to drink, you don't have to drink.
Like, thank you very much.
Like, maybe you have things to do. You have to go to bed, go to work.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm an upstanding individual, sir. Look at you, you terrible person bringing this beer to my house.
Mm-hmm. When you're making your turkey, you need the experts. Samantha Wolf is from the Butterball Turkey Talk line. Hey, Samantha, how many calls do you get off the bat every year from people that are frantic?
So we get about 100,000 calls or inquiries a year here at the Butterball Turkey Talk line.
Do you have people that call back every year for helpful hints, or is it everybody that's like, my garage is on fire?
Yeah, I think that we get both new callers every year and people who have called in the past. I feel this morning I've gotten quite a few people who have called in the past and they just want that reassurance or even emotional support, and we're happy to give that to them.
Right.
Just like, you can do it.
Right.
You can make this turkey. You're not going to destroy Thanksgiving this year again.
Just take that battery out of the detector. Nobody's going to know.
We like to joke that we save relationships, marriages, and Thanksgiving.
I have a random question that I've been embarrassed to ask. What's the difference between brining a turkey, injecting a turkey, and marinating a turkey? To me, it all seems like the exact same thing, which is adding flavor.
So brining actually helps with the moisture of the turkey, too. A lot of people don't want the dry turkey, so that's why people brine. But the good news is Butterball is pre-brined, so you actually don't have to take that step, and I promise you still get the turkey that you want. Marinating is more for the flavor aspect.
How do you know it's done?
So you need a meat thermometer, and that is your best friend on Thanksgiving Day. And you need to test the turkey in a few places. You need the breast portion to hit 170 degrees. You need the turkey thigh to be 180 degrees. And if you are stuffing it, you want the center of the stuffing to hit 165 degrees.
Samantha, it's the day of, right? I've defrosted. I've done anything correctly. I've done everything correctly, counting down now. And then the power just went out. What am I going to do?
I've had that call before. So my biggest suggestion, if that happens, we can walk you through some ideas. My favorite, though, is if you have a gas grill, you can make your gas grill an oven.
There's been a lot of talk this year, and I feel like saying it out loud. Please don't get upset at me, Samantha. Of divorcing the turkey. People are stopping making the turkey and they want to just like get rid of it. Butterball, how do they feel about that?
So we actually did a survey and we found that 85% of consumers still want the turkey on the center of their table.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope that you do choose Butterball. But if you don't, I think it just goes along with your family traditions.
All right, Samantha, it's time for our speed round. Random questions that we have. Please don't make fun of us. Answer them as quickly as you can. There's no right or wrong answers. You ready?
Okay, sounds good.
How much turkey is too much turkey for the dog?
The whole turkey.
Can you defrost your turkey in the washing machine?
No, please don't do that.
If I eat enough turkey, will you smell gravy in my sweat?
Probably. Yeah, meat sweats is a real thing, right?
Mm-hmm. It's true. What do you think is the dumbest thing to stuff your turkey with?
Things that are not food objects.
Okay, how about these? Pineapple and ham.
Ew.
Hot dogs.
No, yeah. Hot dogs, yeah. Keep it traditional if you're stuffing your turkey.
Legos.
I wouldn't put that past my son.
I've got no salt and pepper in an hour to season this bird. What can I do to give it some real flavor?
If it's a butterball, you just need oil. You actually do not have to season it because the flavor is already in it.
And if you don't have a sharp knife, what other tools can you use to serve your turkey?
Oh, wow, that's a good one. I would say we could try kitchen shears, but a good chef's knife is important.
Flathead screwdriver.
I was just going to say, give me a screwdriver. The magic happened with that thing.
I mean, everybody knows that was the right answer, Samantha.
Yeah.
All right, now you're
sorry.
Talking.
A saw. Right.
All right. Samantha Wolf from the Butterball Turkey Talk Line. You can find them online at butterball.com. Thank you so much.
Welcome to Anna and Raven's Roadshow. Today, they examine items to determine if they have any hidden treasures.
It's Anna and Raven Roadshow. All throughout the month, we've been taking your submissions at annaandraven.com of items you have. And then Ryan Brecklin, our buddy from Nest Egg Auctions, will tell you exactly what it's worth. What's up today, Ryan?
One of your listeners sent in a Regina music box or a Regina disc player. So this is early 20th century, late 19th century, somewhere between 1880, 1920. And it's a tabletop music box. Think like a Victrola. Do you guys remember a thing called CDs?
Yes. I remember.
Barely. They were a chapter of my life. I do remember. Yep.
Right. So this is the 19th century version of CDs. It plays a metal disc with holes punched in it. Underneath that is what's called the comb. And the comb is the part of the music box that makes the notes.
It's like the first like boom box.
Right.
Today they're highly collected. There's a good market for them. There's people who restore them. There's people who play them. There's conventions and shows for mechanical music. This particular one, if it came to market today, it's in really good shape. You'd see between $1,500 and $2,000.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
If it was at a show or in a retail situation, you might see $3,000.
Wow.
That's cool.
That's a good find.
I wonder if I can get the new like Post Malone on it.
I don't think so.
Huh.
Right.
I heard he's releasing on Regina Music Discs now.
That would be awesome.
And what's next?
So someone sent in a picture of a Spanish coin, 8 reals. And I thought it was really interesting because they used an app to identify the coin. And I even went in and downloaded the app. I said, I got to try this out. An app that'll optically identify a coin would be super useful.
And you'd be able to test that, obviously.
Yeah. So it did. It identified the coin. You took a picture. It said you got a Spanish 8 reals. That's amazing. There's just one problem.
What?
That app can't tell you whether or not the coin is real.
Mm-hmm. So it just tells you what it is. It doesn't tell you if it's a fake.
Right.
Okay.
So this is where I always say, you know, a little knowledge is dangerous. Looking something up on eBay, you think you know what it's worth. But when you find a professional that can tell you the details, that's your best move. Because this is literally treasure. 8 reals is the coins of pirates.
I'm getting very excited over here. Don't tell me it was made out of chocolate.
Well, the images provided are pretty telling here. This one is a total fraud, a total fake coin.
Oh.
So I'm sorry, but you have fake pirate gold.
Oh my gosh, they've been holding on to that thing for 14 generations.
I mean, Johnny Depp was really hurting, you know, the court cases weren't going well before, right? He got one of those free totes from Disney back in his times. He's like, let's see whether or not it works.
You know, I feel like over the years we've gotten a lot of coins. How do you tell the difference between a real coin and a fake coin?
So it takes someone who's trained in it, someone who can really do it. I'll tell you a quick story to answer that. When my son was at the beach this summer, he's 8 years old, he was digging in the sand, and we had some fake pirate gold in our pockets. And as he's digging, I kept flipping a coin in behind him, and he would turn around and go, Dad, I got a pirate coin, right? Eventually, he had 6 or 7 of these, put them in his pocket, they jingled there for a week, he shows up at my office and goes, Dad, let's test them. And I have a little device that can tell you whether or not it's gold or silver, and he knows how to use it, and he goes in my office and scans them, and he goes, oh, Dad, they're not real gold. But it was still fun, right? He still had fun in the sand there. And it's great to find a coin and hope that it's really valuable. But you should get it checked out by a professional.
They should create an app that tells you if you have fake Louis Vuitton purses, right? Wouldn't that be helpful?
I know you could bite gold coins back in the day, right? Maybe if you bit your purse. Who knows?
And on Raven Roadshow, Ryan Brecklin from Nest Egg Auctions. You can find him online at nesteggauctions.com is our expert appraiser. He knows everything. We've been taking your submissions all month long of the items you have around your house. Ryan, what are we looking at now?
We are looking at an authentic U.S. Civil War sword bayonet.
Wow.
I remember when I got this email, I was like, whoa, that looks legit.
This was called a sword bayonet because it's extra long. This is like 2.5 feet long. And not only would it have been mounted on the front of a Remington Model 1863 percussion rifle, but it could be taken off, and that was the weapon you had to defend or attack with after you've fired your one shot. This particular bayonet goes to this Remington Model 1863. It's also known as a Zouave rifle, and it actually didn't see much service. That rifle was produced and didn't really make it to the battlefields, and they come up, they're one of the most puzzling artifacts of the Civil War because they produced one of the best weapons, left it in the crates, and the war ended. And they said, what do we do with them now? They ended up auctioning them off. They ended up selling these things off and giving them away to officers after the war. It's super puzzling in a collector standpoint because weapons that are used in the war or a battle are worth more. And these are unused and they're in pristine condition.
So what does that mean for value wise?
Just the bayonet by itself is in the 200 to 400 range. If you combine it with the gun, in the 3,000 to 4,000 range.
What else do we have if you don't have a bayonet lying around your house?
Someone sent in a beautiful set of books. They said a collection of old books that was the author's personal copy and wonder if there's a market value. These are called The Royal Gallery. It's a 4-volume set from England, and it actually catalogs all of the prints in the collection of the crown. Very, very few copies of this book exist. One copy was given to Queen Victoria and Prince Albert. One copy is sitting in a museum. And then there's this copy.
What?
Wait a minute. But this is a real one?
This is an authentic 4-volume set. It's a catalog, a listing of the art. And this was the author's personal copy. And it has his inscription and his notes on the inside cover.
Okay, so what's that worth?
Well, all right, this is a case and something that comes up in appraisals. This might be more rare than the buyers for it, right? There might be only one of these, and there might be zero buyers or zero people looking for it.
Oh,
right.
Can you imagine?
If it came to auction in a well-advertised book auction, probably in the UK, it would need to go home and sell in that market. It would get a 3,000 to 4,000 estimate, but it really could exceed because there's only one of these and only three that we could find any examples of. One of them being owned by the crown, one of them with the museum. So if someone wanted to own one of these privately and could buy it at auction, they might pay $10,000 or $15,000 for it.
That is insane.
Yeah.
In general, how do you know you have a good book like something like this? Like, this is probably just in her library. Who knows how she picked it up?
first edition books are super complicated because the most valuable ones are the ones they made the least of. In fact, some of the biggest books in history, when the book was first printed and first made, there was just copies that went out to like the publisher, to the author,
right,
to the editor, those sort of things. Those like first 100 books are the most rare.
It's just mind-blowing to me that you were able to even locate these other two sets when there might be only three of them in the world.
That's so cool to think that you have something that only a couple other people have, and one being the royal family, right?
And you have the proof because he wrote on the inside cover.
That's amazing. All right, we're going to have more with Ryan Brecklin tomorrow. You can find him online at nesteggauctions.com. Thanksgiving anxiety disorder is a real thing. It was first identified in 2016. Experts say that it increased every year because of the elections, politics, the pandemic, and now inflation.
I mean, I just love the fact that there were smart people out there that had to, you know, somehow explain their diploma or degree during the pandemic time and be like, I'm inventing conditions at this point. That's what I'm doing.
Well, it all started because of the elections back in 2016, and people were super stressed out about having to deal with their family and depending on what side of the fence they were on.
Sure.
Or whatever.
A lot's changed.
Yeah. I guess not so much.
Not at all.
All right. So here's the thing. There's ways that you can deal with Thanksgiving anxiety disorder if you're experiencing it. If you're having issues with your family, which is the number one reason that people have Thanksgiving anxiety disorder.
Yeah.
Let's say they bring up topics you don't want to talk about. Here's the internet psychologist lady explaining what you do to set boundaries. You say this to them.
I know we have differences in our family around these topics, and it's been challenging for all of us to problem solve and manage through that. I still love you. I still want a relationship with you.
Yeah.
And maybe today is not the best time to be discussing that.
How do you say that with a straight face?
That's word salad right there. It's like right after that, she's going to run for office. Sounds perfect. It's great.
And you should prepare for these people to show up at your house. And according to the experts, these are the things you should be doing over the next couple of days in preparation.
Be sure to have a plan in place before things get awkward. Get the group involved in playing a new game or watching a funny movie. Do a craft with the kids or head outside to play catch or go for a walk.
Oh, you want to talk about Trump running for re-election? No, I'm going to play Elf.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be good. Producer John, producer Sean, Raven, What is giving you Thanksgiving anxiety?
You know what? It's the fact that since, you know, my parents are separated, it's visiting multiple families on one day. If I'm not, am I spending too much time with one side of my family? Am I not spending enough time with another? It's just, I don't want to deal with it. It makes me anxious.
Oh.
It just, ugh.
Dude, you can't win.
You got to do what I did years ago. Just bail on it. Just who cares? Doesn't matter. Just figure it out.
Just another Thursday.
You know what? I am worried about talking about my divorce because I have snaked out of that for a couple of years. We had the pandemic.
Yeah.
Very handy. And then last Thanksgiving, I had Corona. I didn't have a Thanksgiving.
John is the only person that likes Thanksgiving anxiety disorder because it's made him avoid having to deal with anybody.
So it's been a couple of years that I've gotten a snake out of really having some very serious conversations with my father's side of the family, especially. My mom's side knows all about it, but my dad's side, they don't know anything about it.
So here's the thing is, so last year even, like, I mean, it was fresh.
Yep.
If they even knew, you were just separated. So nobody was asking. They were quietly praying in the corner for a result one way or the other.
This year...
It's been a while now. The Band-Aid's off, so now they're just going to be like, John, what the hell happened?
Yeah. And it's been a while. Like, I've been out of that house for 2 years now.
Good
Raven,
luck with that.
What's giving you Thanksgiving anxiety?
Well, you know, it's just everything that you have to do right after Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. That's fine. Going downstairs, getting the chairs, putting the leaf on the table, all that. None of that bothers me. Frying the turkey, you know, dealing with the conversations. I'm used to my family. They're around a lot. My wife's got a million cousins, so there's always a birthday. However, when it comes to the day after, where it's like, all right, got to go shopping, got to go get the Christmas tree. I believe that all places should stop their events the day after Thanksgiving. I don't want to go to your thing after Thanksgiving, but I have to.
This is the time of things. This is the time
See?
Of parties and bar
See?
Calls and all kinds of things
See?
And celebrations.
Yep.
Thanksgiving anxiety disorder was first coined in 2016 because of all the stress with the elections. And they say that every year since then, it's gotten progressively worse because of the pandemic, more politics, inflation, all of that.
I mean, the condition sounds like nonsense to me. Anxiety is anxiety, but I understand why you get it around the holidays.
1-800-330-9999. Danielle, what's giving you Thanksgiving anxiety?
So I think the idea of hosting 25 people, cleaning the house, just working a holiday, because when you're hosting, you're working. Mm-hmm. So I'm boycotting Thanksgiving this year. Instead of having a Thanksgiving of 25 family members, I'm taking my family of four out east on Long Island to just have a picnic. And I'm going to pack turkey sandwiches, potato chips, and that's it.
And chill out.
Well, I hope it doesn't rain.
Thank you.
You know what's giving my cousin anxiety, bringing up having a lot of people over? Everybody's coming this year that she invited, so she has 35 people. She doesn't have 35 plates. So she, I was like, just go get the good plastic plates. Nobody will care.
Yeah,
you know?
No. I had one of those years, too, where I had to run around and go find three more plate sets.
Yeah.
Right at that point. You know, it's funny, though. Everybody always talks about the work that goes in, but they never want to give up the holiday.
No.
Oh, no, 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 no. People are so like, this is my holiday.
That's why I don't ever take a holiday. It's just, it's better for everybody that I'm not in charge. I will show up happily with wine and flowers.
Ronnie, what's giving you Thanksgiving anxiety?
Just like thinking about my whole like blended family coming together. Like it's just complicated enough already, but getting everyone in the same house is just, woo.
I get the same way with that all the time. But, you know, half the time, then we end up being the problem because we're waiting for the shoe to drop. We're waiting for something to happen. And if you just remain calm, most people will, they kind of know each other's own boundaries.
Right. I just hope for the best, but it seems like every year there's always some little blow up or something that happens. Like,
I'm one of those people that avoids confrontation at all possible costs. To me, I just rather pretend like there is not a giant elephant in the room, and then we get to go home happy and we survived it. I never understand those that poke the bear. You know what I mean? Like, it's just Thanksgiving. Like, you just sit around or like the holidays. I don't get it.
There's different types of people, right? Some people think resolution is there to be had.
And I disagree. I think there's no such thing as resolution. If you have two different thought processes here and you know that it's going to, you know, cause a major blow up, avoid it.
As
avoid it.
As rare as it is, we are in complete agreement now.
Vic, what's giving you anxiety about Thanksgiving?
The alcoholic contingent of the family.
What does that mean?
Is giving me, well, the alcoholic uncle, you know, who's there every year. And like this year, oh, he's much better. And then by, you know, 3 p.m, he's like completely red faced and, you know, saying all kinds of inappropriate things and falling off the chair. You know, and you can't like cut him off. You can't like, you know, say, hey, have you know, happen to be a bartender at your own Thanksgiving? Not good.
It's always the uncle. Why is it always the uncle?
I don't know.
I know a story.
No, it's not.
I shouldn't even tell that story. Never mind.
See, right. You're not going to tell it because it's somebody's uncle.
Well, somebody was uninvited this year. No, they were not uninvited. They were not re-invited to where they go every year because there was such a drunk outburst last year.
See?
And I have to feel like how embarrassing that must be for the rest of the family that you're not invited because of the, you know, the way dad behaved last year.
It's tough.
It's really terrible.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Well, unless somebody triggered me. No.
Actually, it makes me feel better when I hear other parents complain about things like this because I don't feel so alone.
It's good to not feel alone, but the fact is you're still in it at this moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Until the eating habits change, you're still there.
Producer John and I were just talking about this, Raven. We were saying how like our kids have the weirdest eating habits, the things that they do, and I'm gearing up for Thanksgiving. Now, Dakota, my little one, she's 4 now. She doesn't eat anything. Like, it's real tough to get her to eat a single thing. Last night, I was trying to explain to her on Thanksgiving, we try different foods and she's already dismissing me. And as she's dismissing me, she's pulling apart the Oreos, taking her finger, taking out like the vanilla, the frosting inside.
Sure.
Eating that, crumpling the rest in her hand and throwing it on the floor.
Wow. Uh-huh. She's just like, I have no use for this other part of the cookie.
Correct.
This is trash. Yep. I'm going to put it where trash goes, on the floor.
Well, that's the thing is I feel bad for you because she won't eat anything. For me, it's more like the way that my son eats because he has to deconstruct every single thing that he eats. He wants a sandwich. He wants a cheeseburger. He wants the Oreo cookie.
Mm-hmm.
But he must rip it all apart before he'll actually eat it. Like, you know, the sandwich now. I made him a sandwich yesterday, and I gave him, you know, turkey, ham, cheese, all of his favorite things. And he wants it, and he grabs it, and then he slowly takes apart this sandwich that I just meticulously created, and he starts eating one. But like, dude, I'll just give you cold cuts. You can just have cold cuts. It's not a big deal. The cheeseburger is my favorite, though. He always wants a cheeseburger. It's his favorite thing to order at a restaurant.
Yep.
He will take the bun off, scrape all the cheese off of the burger, and then eat that cheese. And then eat the pieces of bun that have little bits of cheese on it. And then I have to force him to eat at least a quarter of the actual patty itself.
Oh, it's always the same thing. We have that with, so one of the other things that she eats, and again, the menu is very limited, is bread with butter. Mm. But she'll only eat the inside of the bread, which I think is a common kid thing.
Yeah.
I did that for a while.
James does that too. He calls it soft bread.
Yeah, the inside of the bread. But I mean, I don't even hate it because I get to eat the outside and that's my favorite part. Like, well, who doesn't want the crust? I'm like, she'll grow out of that at some point, right?
I mean, at some point, you're hoping that she's going to eat an actual meal.
Like a meal.
With like a vegetable.
Yeah.
And like a starch and like a protein.
I have all, like, I keep hyping up Thanksgiving. I'm like, we're going to try the turkey and we're going to try. And this is how sad I've gotten. I'm trying to sell her on apple pie just to get her to eat anything.
Who needs to be sold on apple pie?
Story of my life. Like, it's not even good for you, you know? Like, and I'm trying to tell her, I'm like, but there'll be ice cream. We could put ice cream on the pie. It doesn't make any sense at all.
You got to just spring it on them. Now there's anxiety about it. Now we're like really building up to the turkey. Oh, boy.
Jen, what's your kid's weird eating habit?
Yeah, my six-year-old eats like he's trying to get his steps in. Like, he'll take a few bites and then he'll walk around the room and sort of make conversation or tell jokes. That kid is always on.
Why do kids want to get up from the table so badly? They never just want to sit there. Like, they have, actually, my godson said the other day when we were quote unquote forcing him to eat his dinner that the worst part about eating is that it stops him from playing.
Yeah.
And I guess
exactly.
That makes sense.
You know, you have boundless energy when you're younger, right? And nothing hurts. When you're a little bit older, everything aches. This is your problem, right? So.
Oh, that's true.
Kids are so weird. They're so weird, and their eating habits are even stranger. I've been dealing with my four-year-old, very strange eating habits. She eats nothing. She doesn't eat anything, this kid.
Yeah, I don't understand that. But I know that all kids, they go through this phase, right, where it's just chicken nuggets, or it's just hot dogs, or it's just this, or it's just that.
Well, she only likes the nuggets from McDonald's, so you know what I did? I just keep the box. Even if I make them at home, I try to fool her. Usually she'll catch on. She'll be like, these aren't the right ones. But I just keep putting them in the same McDonald's box at home.
That's funny.
What's the weird thing your kid does with food? 1-800-330-9999. Trisha.
Frozen peas.
Mm. Oh, gross.
So they like them when they're frozen, only when they're frozen, not when they're actually hot?
Right. So it started out when he was a toddler for teething. I gave him the frozen peas to help the gums.
Yeah.
And he has been eating frozen peas ever since at 16.
I mean, the good thing is that it's healthy. At least it's a good snack. It's a healthy snack, but it's weird.
I love peas, but I don't love them that much.
I have to ask him if he wants them cooked or frozen with, like, a side of macaroni.
Oh, my God.
Krista, what's the weird thing or way your kid eats?
Anytime I put anything round in front of them, like a blueberry or like a raspberry, they always reach down and like eat it with their mouth, like not pick it up and put it in their mouth, but like every single time.
Like eat it like a dog.
Yeah, and it's so weird. But like if I put like an apple, they pick it up, but particularly the rounder items.
That's so random.
Yeah, that's totally strange.
Dakota will reach down if there's a packet of butter that's open, and she won't pick it up with her hands. And I don't know if she thinks she's trying to be sly or slick. I mean, she is only four. And she'll pick it up with her tongue. Like, she'll just stick her tongue right in there and like just pick it up like that. Like, I'm not going to notice that she just picked it. It's very strange.
You know what? I mean, when I was a kid, I can remember being willing to like slurp something up or off of something with no problem. As an adult, I don't ever want to do that. If something hits the table, even, I'm kind of like, you know, it's questionable.
Heidi, what's the weird thing or way your kid eats?
My kids love ramen for breakfast.
Oh.
I know. I'm like, I grew up like on cereal and crappy English muffins. They have a way more sophisticated palate, but they love ramen for breakfast.
I think Hayden, my older daughter, would eat the cup of noodles every single morning for breakfast if I let her. She loves those things. I tell her all the time, it's got enough salt, it's gonna kill her, but like she doesn't seem to be concerned.
The hot liquid is good, right? I mean, that wakes you right up, gets the senses going there, and a little bit of spice isn't so bad. I mean, people always tell me soup, like to for a pickup, soup puts me to bed. I have a good cup of bowl of soup, I'm good for a minute, then I'm ready for a nap.
You're snoozing. That's funny. Well, no, my kids love it. It's a good start for them, so I don't know.
Alisa, what's the weird way your kid eats?
My kid eats his ice cream cones from the bottom first, then he works his way up.
Oh, the bottom of the ice cream cone. Oh, my gosh, I used to do this. Did you ever have a drumstick? You know the ones that have the chocolate nugget at the bottom of the cone that you buy, like, in the package at the grocery store?
Sure.
Oh, I couldn't wait to get to that bottom part. Yeah. I would eat it first, and then I would work my way up.
But you need, like, a bowl or something, right? I mean, then you just end up with ice cream all over your face.
Well, listen, my kid doesn't always find the bowl, and it's ice cream everywhere, okay?
Huh. All right. It's a race, then.
I'm not saying it's clean or it makes sense, but I do understand why.
I mean, it sounds like a race against ambient temperature.
And cone is my favorite part. People that don't eat their cone, I never understand. Like, when I see somebody throwing their cone away, I'm like, it's the best part. It's like eating a pizza and not eating the crust.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Oliver and Charlotte. Oliver, what's going on?
Okay, my parents are divorced. Thanksgiving's coming up, and my dad always comes to Thanksgiving at our house, right, every year. And this year, mom is coming for dessert, but she wants to bring her boyfriend. And I don't think that that's respectful to my dad. You know, it's like, I get that mom wants to come. She needs to see the grandkids and all that. And I get that, but the boyfriend doesn't need to see the grandkids. So, like, why not just leave him and come alone to make it easier on dad, who's always there?
Charlotte, you have a different opinion on this.
I mean, I understand where he's coming from, but at the end of the day, I feel like his dad and his mom are both adults. You know, she seems really happy with this boyfriend. It seems like he's going to be around for a while. So let's just get this over with and let's be adults and let's be nice about everything. But we shouldn't be like tiptoeing around adults that made their own decisions and got married. Didn't work out. They got divorced. But like, I just feel like let's move on. Let's be adults.
How long have they been divorced?
12 years.
I mean, that's a long time, man. I mean, how long do we really have to, you know, walk around on eggshells around each other? I get it. You want to be respectful of one of their feelings. And oftentimes in divorce, one person takes it a lot harder than the other one. On the other hand, it's been over a decade. I mean, they've certainly run into each other, had thoughts about each other before. They should be able to handle this, especially at a holiday meal.
Well, let me ask you a different question, Oliver. How many men has your mother introduced to your father?
I don't know that she's introduced any, And he's single. If he was remarried or had a girlfriend, I'd be like, it's cool, but he's not. And it's also like he comes every year. So this is like his zone. You know what I mean? Like it's his place.
I mean, and they're your parents. I don't know. I mean, both. She is your mother. Without her, the party ain't happening. I got news for you. So,
I mean, it's a tough one. What do you do? Do you agree with Oliver that he's in the right, that he can tell his mom, listen, I would love to have you, but, you know, we don't want you to bring the new guy around the kids or dad just yet? Or do you see Charlotte's side? At some point, she's an adult. She can do whatever she wants. And if she feels like this person in her life, this new person, is important enough to bring over for a holiday, then everybody's going to have to just roll with it.
Incredibly difficult for me to imagine having any event anywhere ever where my mother isn't welcome. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Oliver and Charlotte are hosting Thanksgiving like they always do. And, you know, Oliver's dad comes every single year. And this year, mom would like to come, too. They've been divorced for 12 years. And she says, I'm going to come for dessert and I'm going to bring the new guy that I'm dating. And Oliver is like, whoa! Whoa.
I can't even imagine a world where my mom is asking me for permission. I mean, mom, just show up. I'd love to see you here, of course. Charlotte thinks they're adults, all right? It's been 12 years. Let everybody come and have a good time. They can all handle themselves. There's nothing to be anxious about. But Oliver says, well, dad's always come. This is kind of his spot, his holiday, his place.
And he doesn't have anyone, and he's never had anyone since mom. And I could see where that's awkward.
You know what? Maybe dad just doesn't even talk about his things going on to them. I mean, did Oliver ever ask that? He doesn't know.
What do you think? Can you tell mom not to bring the guy? 1-800-330-9999. Daisy, whose side are you on?
I am actually on Charlotte's side, because it sounds more like
it's a personal issue for her husband rather than the father. They've been divorced for 12 years. I think it's bothering him more.
They're all grown-ups, right? If dad's going to start crying at the Thanksgiving table, then dad probably needs more help than you just not inviting mom and her new boyfriend, right? Dad needs a therapist.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999, Couples Court. Oliver and Charlotte. Well, they're hosting Thanksgiving like they always do, and Oliver's father comes every single year. Now, Oliver's mother, parents are divorced, been divorced 12 years, says, I'm coming this year, and I'm going to bring my new boyfriend. And Oliver's not happy about it.
He's uncomfortable with the whole thing. Charlotte says, listen, it's been 12 years. They're adults. It's no big deal. I mean, if anything, I would just give dads a heads up. But I wouldn't expect anybody to stay home or disinvite anybody.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Janine, whose side are you on?
I am on, is it Charlotte? Yeah, I'm on her side. I think that, you know, like you said, 12 years is a long time. And if you keep on showing up and you're having, you know, your life going on with other people and keeping it hidden, it might mislead somebody that does have certain hopes in their life that something may change.
Hmm.
So you might as well just be open and transparent.
Right. I mean, if he hasn't gotten the message yet, putting a dude in front of his face might.
Mm. Yeah, let's do it right in front of the kids on Thanksgiving. Perfect. Hey, Dawn, whose side are you on?
Definitely Charlotte. It's been 12 years. The mother should be able to bring the boyfriend, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like a strange thing to be worried about.
Yeah, I could see if it was only a couple years, you know, 2 or 3 years, but I mean, it's 12 years.
Right.
I highly doubt they're going to reconcile and get back together, so let the mother have a good time with the boyfriend.
You're right, time to give that up.
Yeah.
Time to give that up. Thanks for the call.
Christmas miracle. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
We're all still children inside.
Hi, Shailene.
Hey, Shailene, whose side are you on?
I am on her side. Only because I'm divorced and I would be really disheartened if my children told me that I couldn't come just because my ex-husband, who hasn't found a girlfriend yet,
yeah.
was going to be there. Because there's going to be a lot of other things that are going to be happening. And if she's really serious about this relationship, there's going to be all of the little kids' graduations and, you know, birth of another child.
Listen, that's all well and good, but straight up. Maybe she's dating this guy for 2 weeks. Maybe she doesn't feel like driving her car. Whatever business it is, it's mom who's telling you, I'm bringing this dude. That's all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's his mom.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Charlotte, our audience agreed with you. You know, Oliver, they're adults. And if your mom wants to come and see the kids and she feels like this new person in her life is important enough and your dad has to understand that at some point this was going to happen and you just have to get over the awkwardness and just do it.
Yeah, I can see that. Nobody knows my parents, but yes, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, and oh,
I mean,
we all probably need
therapy.
No, but it's not like your mom's going to be all over the new boyfriend and being disrespectful and rubbing it in your dad's face. Like, your parents are great. They're not going to make this, like, any more awkward than it's already going to be, but we might as well get it over with.
I like to imagine that there will be all sorts of inappropriate. I like to imagine that it will be straight chaos, and it will end with your father and new dad fighting in the backyard. I love it.
No.
I love it. Shirts off, rolling around. Wow.
All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Congratulations to Gina. She beat Raven yesterday, won $3,900. That means today's jackpot resets to $100.
Yeah, it was a big victory, but there's more money on the line.
Karina, you ready to play today?
I'm ready.
Okay, we got $100. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Karina.
Okay.
Thanks.
Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, he can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Okay. Yep.
Number one, Sylvester Stallone visited his iconic Rocky statue with his family. In the film Rocky, what famous museum stairway does Rocky run up during his training montage?
Oh, my gosh. No clue.
Number two, Mindy Kaling is working on a script for Legally Blonde 3. What actress plays Elle Woods?
Oh my God. Is it Reese Witherspoon?
Number three, a trailer for the upcoming Whitney Houston biopic was released. The film will be titled I Want to Dance with Somebody. Finish these lyrics to Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody. Okay, here it goes. Oh, I want to dance with somebody. I want to feel the heat with somebody. Yeah, I want to dance with somebody. What comes next?
With somebody who loves me.
Number four, Brendan Fraser will lead the It's a Wonderful Life virtual table read for an event that will benefit Ed Asner Family Center, which helps special needs families. According to Zuzu Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, what happens every time a bell rings?
Oh, no clue.
And number five, Tom Brady said his daughter told him that he does not have a happy face when he's on the field. How many children does Tom Brady have?
Two.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Okay.
All right, Raven, let's go. I'm waving. All right, we got 2 out of 5.
Oh.
Wow, all right, $100. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Sylvester Stallone visited his iconic Rocky statue with his family. In the film Rocky, what famous museum stairways does Rocky run up during his training montage?
It's the Philadelphia Museum of Art.
That's right. Number two, Mindy Kaling is working on a script for Legally Blonde 3. What actress plays Elle Woods?
It's Reese Witherspoon.
That's right. Number three, a trailer for the upcoming Whitney Houston biopic was released. The film will be titled I Want to Dance with Somebody. Finish the lyrics to Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody. Oh, I want to dance with somebody. I want to feel the heat with somebody. Yeah, oh, I want to dance with somebody.
With somebody who loves me. Oh, I could sing the whole song.
All right, that's good. Number four, Brendan Fraser will leave It's a Wonderful Life virtual table read for an event that will benefit the Ed Asner Family Center, which helps special needs families. According to Zuzu Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, what happens every time a bell rings?
An angel gets their wings.
That's right. And number five, Tom Brady said his daughter told him he doesn't have a happy face while he's on the field. How many children does Tom Brady have?
Oh, gosh. One, two, I think he has three.
He has three.
Yep.
Yeah, two with Giselle.
And yep. How many will he have with Kim Kardashian?
Oh, I don't think very many.
What?
I'm sorry, Karina. He beat you 5-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Thank you so much. Karina cannot be Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $200 tomorrow, Anna.